is that the Lord seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and worship Him in truth. In other words, worship Him out of your spirit, but yet worship Him in truth, the way the Bible says to worship Him. And that's what He's seeking today. He's seeking those that will do that. I want to continue on tonight in the basic thing that we've been looking at the past few weeks is why prayers sometimes go unanswered. And trying to keep this on a very upbeat mode, and you can get into these things and get negative with them, and I don't want that to happen. And at the same time, I always want to emphasize and say, God is not looking for reasons and ways that He won't answer our prayers, that He doesn't have to answer our prayers. It's the opposite. He desires to answer our prayers. He looks for ways that He can answer our prayers. And we've talked about that. And He says, Jesus says that if you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. He says, if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything that you may ask, I'll do it. And the Bible is just full of His desiring and motivating us and wanting us to pray, wanting us to ask. It says, ask and seek and knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The Bible talks about persistence in prayer and staying before the face of God. So I want to make sure that we understand that before, and I always preempt what I'm sharing with that. Scott and Kathy Webster had an opportunity to come up and spend Thursday night and Friday with us, part of the day Friday. Then they went down to Stockbridge, Georgia, and ministered. And I was sharing with him some of the things that the Holy Spirit was sharing with us about this, and sharing with him that I had never had a teaching on why prayers go unanswered. I never had any kind of instructions on that, and that the Lord was taking us into this, and it was causing us to look. It was causing me to look at my prayer life and make sure that these areas are shored up so that my prayer life can be more effective. This will be the fifth message that we've given on this, why prayers sometimes go unanswered. We took the first one from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 45. We talked about rebellion will stop the answers from God. If we won't go on with God, if we won't go into His land and go into His purposes for our life, all sorts of things start happening to us. And remember the bee message? That was the bee message. Well, the bees got after us. And those things happen to us when we will not go on with God. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 through 15 talked about that God won't answer our prayers when our assembling becomes vain, becomes rote. And that's what Pastor Tebow was warning us of tonight. Make sure that it never does that. Jesus said, they give me lip service. They say with their lips that they're worshiping me, but their hearts are far from me. And He says, in vain do they worship me. When we're not doing worshiping the Lord out of our hearts, it's just vain. It's not accomplishing anything. And which led us to the message that we talked about last week was the prideful heart, the haughty heart. If you have a prideful heart or a haughty heart, Jesus said that there was the Pharisee that was that way, and He said He was just talking or praying to himself. Is that what He said? And there's times I believe that we pray to ourselves, don't you? We get a little prideful, and we're just praying to ourselves. The other message that we took from James chapter 4, verses 1 through about verse 7 there, and talk there that He says, you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss, or you ask with wrong motives. Things become the motivation for our prayer life. And if that happens to our prayer life, God won't answer it, because He says it'll do different things to you. One thing it'll do is make you war on your members. It'll make you unfaithful to the things of God. It'll just ruin you if He starts giving us all the things. If we are asking for things, and I gave you some examples on that. Tonight what I want to talk to you about is why prayers sometimes go unanswered is when we ask not according to His will. When we ask not according to His will. I want to look at some scriptures. So I want you to stretch your hands out to me, and I want you to pray for me, and pray that the Lord will just use me and pour out of me what He's poured in, and that the sower will go forth and sow the good seed. Just pray for me. Father, right now I just receive the prayers, Father. I receive the prayers of these precious people. Father, they love me. I sense their love. I feel their love. I know they love me, Lord. And I just receive right now their prayers for me, Lord, that You'll use me. And Lord God, that You'll pour out of me that which You've given me to give to them. Father, I want to be a good shepherd. Father, I want them to be able to hear my voice. And Father, I want to do the work of the ministry. And Father, I want to be an example of Christ to them. Father, I want to be what I'm supposed to be. And Father, I ask you right now to anoint my life and anoint my mind and, Lord, anoint my spirit, that, Lord God, what can come out of me will bring forth good things and life and light to these people. Now I want you just to put your hand on your heart to receive the Word of God. Father, right now I pray for them. And Father, I just ask you right now that you'll just send forth the Word into good soil. Father, their heart is good soil. And Father God, that the Word of God will go forth right now and it'll find a good place to land. And Father, it will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And upon their lives, these things that you're teaching us, these things that you're showing us, will take good deep root and produce much fruit. Father, you said you know a tree by its fruit. And Father, I pray that this fellowship and this people and these families can produce much, much fruit. And Father, I just bless them. I just bless them with the Word of God in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, and so be it. Let's start looking in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. How many want to make the most of your prayer time? Prayer time, when you go to pray, you don't want it to be a wasted time. You want to make sure that it's accomplishing something. You don't want it to be a wasteful time. You want to be a wise person, and you want to be able to pray and it be effective. How many want to make sure that when you pray, that you're not praying to yourself? Let me see some hands. That's the way it's got to be. We can't be like that Pharisee that prayed to himself. We want to make sure that when we do pray, that it is doing something good. Especially when you're getting up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you're spending time with God, you're sacrificing sleep, you're sacrificing rest. And the last thing that you want to do is let it become rote. Let it become just something that you're doing, just to be doing it. But you want it to accomplish something. You want it to work a good thing. And right here in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the will of God and making sure that we move into that as wise people. Verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now notice in this passage of Scripture that wise people understand what the will of the Lord is. Wise people understand what the will of the Lord is, firstly. Secondly, they make the most of that time. A wise person will be able to know what the will of the Lord is, and then he'll be able to make the most of the will of the Lord in his life. He says, don't be foolish. In this walk that you've got, in this time that you're here, in this lifetime, this generation that God has brought you and placed you here, make sure that you're wise and that you're making the most of your walk. Don't be foolish, but be wise. How many see that wisdom has got something to do with making the most of your time? And that wisdom has got something to do with knowing the will of the Lord. Those two things become very important in prayer. Those two things, knowing the will of God and making the most of the time that you're able to commune with God, become very, very important. Now look with me in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Anytime we pray, of course, is important. Any communion that we have with the Lord, with the Spirit, anytime we pray is valuable. And I don't mean to ever sound like that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there is a way to know the will of the Lord and to make sure that the prayers that we're praying are effectual. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's just the same thing as saying that an unrighteous man's prayers don't affect much. That's just the flip side of that. There are things that we can do that will make our prayers more effectual, things that we can do that make our time in prayer more effective in what we talked about this morning in activating angels. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have before Him. In other words, when you come before Him, when you enter into prayer, when you come before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Notice there that the Bible tells us and teaches us that we have confidence when we come before Him. If we have confidence when we come before the Lord in prayer, and we can ask anything. But is there a requirement, or is there a qualification for that anything? What is the qualification for asking God anything? It has to be according to His will. Now, you can ask Him anything, but He might not hear it unless it's according to His will. And then He goes on to say, now, if we know that it's according to His will, we know He hears it. I sounded awful then. We know that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He does hear it. Now, how many of you ever wonder, is the Lord hearing me? Do you ever wonder, Lord, are you hearing me? We've all wondered that. What I'm wanting to see and make you understand is the Lord hears you. How many of you ever wonder when you let a curse word slip out, or when you lie a little bit, that do you ever wonder if the Lord hears you then? Huh? How many believes that the Lord hears you then? Let me see some hands. Come on. All right. Now, just as surely, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. If we can ever come to the conclusion and grasp what I'm trying to say here, that the Lord hears us, if we'll understand that He hears us when we say something that's not right, if we'll understand then that if we know we're saying something that's right, He hears us. And that will bring us confidence as we pray. He says, then if you know that He hears you, because you've asked according to His will, then it says that He'll give you the request or the petitions that you've asked of Him. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? That's what it says. Number one, we've got to understand, we can't just ask anything. What we ask must be according to His will. Number two, we've got to understand that if we ask according to His will, He does hear us. Number three, we've got to understand and get the confidence built into our prayer life that He's hearing us. Just as we've got confidence that He hears us when we say something that's wrong, we've got to develop the confidence in our life that He hears us when we're saying something that's right. And then number four, if we pray in His will, He'll answer it. Now, it might not be tomorrow. You might plant that seed today, and you might walk out there to see if that corn stalk's grown. But Jesus says that's not the way it happens. You can go out there every day if you want to. You can dig it up and see if it's taken root yet. He says, but it's not going to work. How long? It's going to take time, isn't it? He says, first comes the stalk, the leaves, and then the fruit. It's going to take time, a lot of times in our prayer life. We talked about that a little bit this morning. But He does hear it, and He will answer it if it's in His will. Do you see that now? Before I move on, do we need to pray in the will of God? Okay. If we want our prayers answered, we've got to pray in the will of God. Therefore, I can say by the Word of God that if I'm not praying in the will of God, then there's a good chance that my prayers will not be answered. Now, I want to talk for the rest of the time that we have here. I've pointed that point out and I've made that point. But now you enter into the thing, and this is what I really want to concentrate on tonight, is how do I know the will of God? And I want to give you three tests or three ways that you can know the will of God. Three ways. This is the way I have trained myself to look at things. This is the way I've trained myself in prayer. This is the way I believe if I can communicate it to you, that you will be able to know when you're praying, if you are praying the will of God. Now, there is the standard. There is the first one is the one that we all know. If I ask any of you, how would you tell me the will of God, what would you answer me? By the Word. You will not ever know what the will of God is if you don't know the Word of God. Somebody say something. If you don't know what this says, you don't know if you're in the Word or out of the Word, and you have no confidence when you pray. But if you know what this Word says, and you get down before God like it says there in 1 John, And you come before Him and you begin to pray the Word of God, I'm telling you, heaven and earth might pass away, but this Word will never pass away, and you can stand on that Word and know it's going to happen. Now that's the first thing. You'll have confidence when you come to pray to God if you'll pray the Word of God. That's His will. He writes it here for us. That's the first thing that we've got to understand. If you don't know His Word, you won't have confidence when you pray, because you won't know if you're in His will or out of His will. But if you know the Word of God, and if you'll pray the Word of God, then you can develop all the confidence you want, and you know it's going to happen. How many knows this does happen? And it might not happen today, or it might not happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. Am I right? Be not mocked. God is not deceived. Whatever a man soweth, that too shall he also reap. You might not reap it this year or next year, but by the Word of God, you're going to reap it. Am I right now? The Word of God, that's number one. Number one, an understanding the will of God, though it's the Word of God. Number two, what's the second one that I want to give you? You will not understand the will of God if you don't have communion with God. Number two, must have communion with God. You will never understand the will of God if you do not have communion with God. Let's look at John chapter 5, St. John chapter 5, and verse 30. How many realize that everything that Jesus ever asked or ever wanted happened? Did it? Everything. He never missed a time. It would have been bad if he'd walked up to Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, and nothing happened. But he walked up and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth. He never said anything that didn't happen. John, 1 John said, we read it, that if we ask anything that's in His will, He'll do it. Second thing we've got to understand is we've got to understand that it's going to take some communion with Father. St. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus Himself says here, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this. Jesus Himself says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Let me tell us all something. The Lord Jesus Christ was not going about doing His own thing. He didn't go over here and say, well, I think I'll do this today, and I'll do this tomorrow. What He was doing was the Lord's will. He did the will of the Father. He was not going around doing His own thing. But folks, I want to tell us, Christians today want to go about doing their own things. And that's why we pray so much and prayers aren't answered. He never went about doing His own thing. What does He say? I hear. Now, how do you hear? That's not difficult. Just you listen. Have you ever talked with somebody? Somebody wants counsel. And they come to you and they have a problem. And they come to you with their problem. And they start talking. And they keep talking. And they keep talking. And they keep talking. Finally, the time's ready for them to go. And you haven't got to say anything. And they're up and gone, thinking that they have left with your will, your understanding of their situation. And that's a lot of times how we come before God. We come before God and we start telling Him our situation. And we talk. And we talk. And we talk. And we get up thinking that we've got the will of God. And we have never listened. Jesus said, I don't go about on my own initiative. I hear. Am I right? I hear. I listen. Prayer is more than just telling God what you think. Prayer is listening. It's dialogue. It's talking to Him, allowing Him to talk to you, and having dialogue with the Father. That's what prayer is. It takes communion. It takes listening. He says, I don't go about doing things on my own initiative. I hear. I judge it. I do it. I didn't come to do my own will. I come to do His will. Point. Why are you here? Answer me, everybody. Why are you here? To do your will or to do His will? If we'll ever get that thought, if we'll ever grasp that truth, it'll change our lives, because all of a sudden we'll get out of a prayer-oriented seeking God's hand and start seeking His face, because His mouth is in His face. We'll want to hear what He's saying and not just want Him to do things for us. Is this all right now? Well, we've got to understand that. He says, I don't do anything on my own initiative. I hear. He says, I didn't come here. I didn't come to do my will. I come to do the will of Him that sent me. And if you're of God, you're born of God, and you are, then that's why you're here. You're here to find God's will for your life and do it. Am I right? Okay. Now, it takes communion. It takes listening to the Spirit. It takes listening to Him. I've got to know, and you've got to know, what the purpose is for you. Jesus went from prayer time to prayer time, working miracles in the middle. Is that correct? We've talked about this before. He prayed. He would fight the battle in prayer. Then He'd go plunder the kingdom of darkness. And then He'd go pray. He'd pray. He'd fight the battle in the realm of the Spirit. He'd go plunder the kingdom of darkness. And then He'd go pray. What Christians do is go from this church to this church, working misery in the middle. Come on! We need to get in before the face of God. We need to lock into God, and we need to find out where He wants to plant us and start praying and working miracles in the middle. I'm telling you, they do work misery in the middle.
They work it on both.
I got to know that God has a purpose for my life. Now, my purpose, let me use some examples. My purpose is not the same purpose that God gave King David. Okay? He had King David to live 3,000 years ago. He had King David as the second king over natural Israel. That was what David's purpose was. I can't go running into the Bible and run back here and find out where David had 8 wives and say, that's my purpose! I can't go running back there. Where David had Bathsheba. It's like, oh! How many is it? I can't be Noah. I'm not going to spend 100 years building a boat. How many? You're getting my point, though, aren't you? See, my purpose, I just can't run in here and find me a purpose. How did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? In communion. How did David find the will of the Lord for his life and the purpose? In communion. Spending quality time with God. That's how you're going to find your purpose is not the same as my purpose. My purpose is not the same as your purpose. We have different purposes. Praise God. It would be bad if we were all up here trying to preach to empty chairs. I've been married to this woman 23 years. Most of the time, I know her will without asking. And it's because we've had these years together. Your finding God's will for you is not going to come in one prayer session. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. But you'll come to the place where you just know what God wants you to do in a situation. It comes in quality time. I've spent quality time with her. And I haven't done all the talking. I've done my share. But I haven't done all the talking. She's been able to express to me her will. That's the way it is with us and God. We've got to spend quality time with Him, coming before Him, understanding His Word, and understanding that He has a purpose for me. And my purpose is not my purpose, but His purpose for me. Not my will be done, but Thy will be done. And once we've grasped that thought, you see, we'll have a much better understanding. Christians spend very little time with their Creator. Very little time. And we need to give Him the best time. Now, I'm just going to say this, and you know how I feel about it. But my best time is when I first get up in the morning. My best time is early in the morning. The first hour of my day is my best time. Now, that might not be your best time. My best time is not when I'm laying down in the bed. Hallowed be Thy name, O Lord. Thy kingdom come. It's not my best time. My best time is my first hour, my first time when I get up in the day. And I'm telling you that's your best time. But you need to find your best time and give that best time to God. How many of you want His best? How many believes that He wants your best? You see? The first fruit, the first part of the day. He wants to tithe. He wants a part. He wants that holy part of your day. And He wants to commune with you. And that's what He was saying to us tonight here. He was really drawing us. He was really wooing us to come into a realm of worship, a realm of communion with Him. I really encourage you, and I don't know how to lead us into it. And I think probably, Pastor Tebow, that's where that word came from that I sensed, is that the Lord is really wanting to lead us into worship. Most of you, or many of you, I won't say most of you, but many of you, have never come into worship of the Lord, where everything on your right and your left and in front and behind you was shut out, and all you could seek was the face of God, where nothing else mattered. It didn't matter if somebody saw you dancing, or it didn't matter if somebody saw you crying, or it didn't matter if somebody saw you kneeling. You got to come to that. And that doesn't come except by training yourself to do that. Those things, it's like we shot that arrow last week. That doesn't come easily. That comes by training yourself to worship God. And we really need to train ourselves to have communion with God. You don't have it because you haven't trained yourself to have it. If you're not having good quality communion with Him, seeking His will for your life, it's because you haven't trained yourself to have it. It's not that you can't have it. And it's not even that you don't want to have it. It's that you haven't trained yourself to have it. You haven't disciplined yourself to have it. And anything that you do, whether in the natural or in the spiritual, first you have to discipline yourself. And then, after you've disciplined yourself, it will become a delightful time and not a diligent time that you have to just make yourself do. I love to worship God. I love to worship the Lord. And it's just as easy for me to move into that mode to as I could stand right now here and go into tongues. Things of the Spirit aren't spooky. They're just as it's a walk. It's just what you do. And I can just enter into worship. But it's because I've trained myself to do it. How many want to worship God? I mean, you really want to know Him. Let me see some hands everywhere. Come on. You gotta want to worship Him and commune with Him and just love Him. Seek His face. Not just ask Him to do something for you with His hand. My people humble themselves. Seek My face. Turn from their wicked ways and pray. Then will I hear from heaven, heal their land and forgive their sin. It's going to take some people that want to seek His face. I got to know there's a will for me. I got to know that His will for me and that His purpose for me is not your will and your purpose. And the only way I can find that out is by communion with Him. I can find out the basics. I can find out the foundation truths. I can find out that from the Word of God. But to find out what He wants from my life is going to take personal communion time with Him. That's the only way. I can't do what David did. I can't do what Noah did. I've got to do what He wants me to do. And the only way I'll ever do that is by spending time with Him. Just like I know what she wants me to do, what her will is for me to do, is by when I spend time with her. Quality time. Not now I lay me down to sleep time. And if that's your best time, that's okay. I'm just saying, you understand, I hope. If that's when you pray, don't stop if that's your best time. If that's your only time, don't stop. Even if it's not your best time, don't stop praying. But what I'm trying to say to us is that we need to have some good quality time when we can spend time with God and just seeking His will for our life. Communion, that's the second thing. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. I've got to find His will for me. The third thing. First thing was what? His Word. Second thing is what? Communion. The third thing. Listen. You'll know God's will by its eternal factors. Its eternal factors. What does it mean for eternity? You and I are human beings. And we get wrapped up in the temporal. We get wrapped up in where we're at right now. And we lose sight of what's really important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there. I was talking with Carol Clark. I believe it was just yesterday on the telephone. We started talking about this, about how sometimes situations can just come in and we lose sight of what really is important. And we all do this. Every single one of us are guilty of this. Chapter 4, let's start with 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. How many see that something's happening inside of you? See, you see that? Even though your outer man is aging and barring overcoming the last enemy and barring the Lord's return, the old man is passing away, the outer man. But inside, something is happening. Inside, that man inside of you should be growing and getting stronger and stronger and more glorious and more glorious. He says, the outer man is passing away or decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed, getting stronger day by day. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Every single one of us pass through momentary light afflictions. And those things will do one of two things for us. They'll make us bitter, or they'll make us better. Say, I want to be better. The way you get better is by seeing the eternalness of it. If you get locked up in that situation, if you get locked up in that box that's upon you, that momentary light affliction, you cannot see out of it. All you can see is in it. You can't see out. You can't see into the eternalness of it. And he says, you can't look at that. If you look at that, then you're trapped. That's all you're going to be able to see, and it's going to pass away. What's really important, he says, is that which you really can't see with the natural eye, but you know is happening. What's really important is the eternal factor of it. The temporal and the eternal. And what we're going through, what you're going through today, what I'm going through today, is working something eternal in me. And it'll make me bitter, or it'll make me better. Okay? I'm working eternity into me, or I'm working bitterness and bad things into me. And what does he say that we really need to look at? What does he say we need to look at? Things that are eternal, not these momentary light afflictions. How many has ever had a momentary light affliction? How many is having a momentary light affliction? And you've been having it for quite some time. But I want you to get out of that area. Get out of that and look into the eternalness of it. Look into eternity. If I can communicate this to you, you will never know the will of God if you get trapped in the temporal. The way you'll find the will of God is seeing what eternal effects it's going to work on the future. What's it going to do to my children? What's it going to do to my marriage? What's it going to do to the church? What's it going to do to my grandchildren? If we can get out of where we're at and see where what's going down the road, what we're working in, what God's working into us now, if we'll let it make us better, we can see eternity and what effects it'll have on us there. But if we let it make us bitter, then we can look into eternity and see what effects it's going to have on us there. All right, let's just try to grasp and use a few examples. How do we see, let's use our children. We go home from Sunday morning church, and I've used this one before, so I'll use it again. And we start, instead of eating the chicken, we start eating the preacher. Boy, he was too long! What are you working into your kids sitting there? Come on. Are you working bitterness or betterness? You're working something eternal into that child. You're working them to become critical of the preacher when he gets past 12 o'clock. And what's happening in the eternal realm is that if something was to good happen, he's going to be so consumed with the clock and so consumed with the watch that he's totally going to miss what God wants to do in his life at that moment. He can miss his day of visitation. You're mad at somebody. What's that doing to your children? I do encourage you Never let these things get to your children. When you find yourself in a situation, and we all will, and we all do, but try best you can, not to bring your children into it until it has worked itself out. There's eternity that's dealing with here. How about your grandchildren? The way you handle situations today will minister to your grandchildren in the future. Am I right now? We got to start seeing like that. God deals with people, individuals, you and I. He'll deal with us in terms of years. He deals with families in terms of generations. That's what the Bible's up to, the third, fourth, even to the tenth generation. He deals with nations in terms of centuries. But He's dealing with mankind in terms of eternity. And whatever that we're going through in this walk, where we started at, and making the most of it, has some ramifications of what's going to happen in eternity. One day it's really going to hit us, Roger. The life you've lived, the things you've done, is going to influence Lacey. It's really going to hit me one day, the things that I have done, the mistakes I've made, the sins that I've done, is really going to influence him and his seed, and his seed's seed. It's really going to strike us one day that we either work something good into eternity or we work something bad into eternity. We've got to understand that the decisions and the things that we're doing right now, our prayers and understanding the will of God in our life right now, is working eternity. How about our church? How do we see our church? Do you see this church and ministering eternally to people? Or do you see it that something that's just going to be here for 10, 20 years, 30 years, your lifetime? How do you see it, the church? The church has been going on now for 2,000 years. The church is an eternal vehicle of God. And as long as there's breath in me, this church will exist because it's working eternal things into people's lives. It's working eternal things, people, into your children. You continue coming here with your children, it's going to work eternal things into your grandchildren. You live long enough for your great-grandchildren, it's going to work eternal things into your great-grandchildren. Please hear me, and please hear me right and catch my spirit. Please don't be critical of the church. You're talking about an eternal vehicle of God. It's the body of Christ. How many can hear what I'm saying now? Is this an eternal thing?
Yeah.
And when you begin to put down the church, you're really working some bitterness into some eternal things, some bad things. Eternity. How does what I pray work into eternity? How does the will of God for my life work into eternity? How does my coming, my being faithful to the body of Christ, what does that mean to eternity? What does my paying tithes now, what is that doing for my great-grandchildren? How is my faithfulness to the body of Christ and my learning to praise and learning to worship now, what is that doing for my children and my great-grandchildren and my great-grandchildren's children? What eternal factors is my communion with God having right now? I trust you're hearing me. I hope you're hearing me. I don't know if I've ever said this before. How about, let's use one more. How about marriage? How many want to marry in God's will? If you're not married, but you would like to marry in God's will. Okay. How will you know? You know God says, I want you to get married. And He says that in His Word. And surely you know that in communion with the Lord that you're going to be expressing that emotion and that desire in your heart that you want to get married. Well, how then when the person comes along, how then will you know if that's the right person? What eternal effects is it going to have on you, on him or her, on your children, on your grandchildren, the church, parents? What's it doing in eternity? Am I communicating this, Lance? Is it coming? The effect that I'm just wanting us to, yeah, I know, but I want to make sure I get it across, and I tend to keep going over and over when I'm not sure, and I don't like to do that. But it's eternity. The thing that you got to first know the Word of God. Second thing you got to know is that you got to have communion with God, because He's got a purpose and a will for you. You can't walk in mine. I can't walk in yours. You can't walk in David. I can't walk in David's. I've got to walk in my will and my purpose. And the third thing you've got to understand and know is there is eternal things working in our lives. And what we do is work in eternity. When you can step out of a situation and you can look down the road of eternity and you can see where this decision, where this prayer, then you'll know what to pray. Father, I want this person as my husband or my wife because I see that in eternity it'll be good. Father, I know I love this person, I like this person, but Father, I see that in eternity's eyes, it's not right. It's not good. He or she is not a Christian. He or she is not faithful. He or she, you got to look at eternity. People ask me all the time how to pray about certain situations. I've just given you three reasons and three tests to understand the will of God. You got to pray the will of God. If you're not praying the will of God, your prayers won't be answered. First thing, is it the Word? If it's not the Word, forget it. Stop right there. Second thing, is it God's will for you? Is it God's will for them? Third thing, what eternal factors does it have? Then you'll be able to pray, and you'll be able to pray more in the line of God's will. John said, we can have confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears it, and then He gives us the petition that we've asked. How many think you have a little better understanding tonight of God's will and understanding God's will? Can I see some hands? See that? It's not difficult. The Word, communion with God, and thirdly of all, eternity's factors. What eternal factors is it working in you? I want to, we're done, that's the Word, but I just want us to take a moment and commune with Him. Michelle, if you musicians would just come on back up, Pastor Tebow on up.